Well, we just pray this morning that the word of the Lord would have free course and that he would bless us and help us to know a little more about him and grow a little bit more in him through the word. I'm thinking this morning about the Holy Spirit and its workings and the way that it works. I've heard it said that the Holy Ghost is the defining characteristic of the Church of God. And I want us to think a little bit this morning about the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit and how it works and why it's so important in our lives. Maybe we'll start by looking in John 16 and 3. And I just want to lay a little foundation here as we get into. I want to think a little bit, quite a bit about the gifts this morning and how the Lord wants those to work in our lives, but I want to lay a little bit of foundation first. In John 16 and 13, it says here, "Howbeit," this is Jesus speaking, he said, "when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." And I was thinking about these words of Jesus here, and how he told us that the Holy Spirit would guide us into all truth and that he would not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. You know, the Holy Spirit is what puts us in touch with the mind of God. And the thoughts that we would think as humans are so rational and so logical so many times, and yet they're so counter to the way that God thinks so many times. And so he said, "I'm going to send you the Spirit of truth, and I'm going to send you the Spirit of God to teach you, and that he's going to come and he's going to lead you, and that he's going to be our guide, and he's going to lead us into the mind of God." And the way the Lord thinks, the Lord wants the Holy Spirit to be that channel and that avenue in our life. And that's what I'm thinking this morning, how important it is, as the Lord wants to work through each one of our lives individually, it's so important that we be filled with the Spirit of God. And that after our sins are forgiven, that we're filled with His presence and filled with His Spirit. And then He begins then to give us the mind of His Spirit and the mind of God about our life and the mind of God about things that matter. The mind of God about what truth is. And all those things come from the Holy Spirit indwelling in our lives and in our hearts. I want to look at 1 Corinthians. I'm just going to bounce around between some scriptures this morning. I feel like the Lord gave me. And just get a little better picture this morning of the Spirit of the Lord and the way that it wants to work within our lives. It says here, 1 Corinthians 2 and 11, "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." And he just followed that. He had talked in verse 9 about, "I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." But then he goes on to say, "But God hath revealed them," in verse 10, "unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." And then he goes on to speak of the scripture that we started with here in 11, "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him?" How do we understand how other people feel? How do we understand how they think? How do we understand to do business with one another? Because we're men and women, and we understand the way humans think. And so we're able to understand each other. And so he goes on to say, "Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." I want us to think this morning about the value and the need of the Holy Spirit dwelling within our life and the Lord, after our sins are forgiven, that's a wonderful step that sets us free from the bondages that the devil would put on our lives. But then the Lord wants to reveal His mind to us, and He would like to reveal Himself to us in some ways that are deeper, some things that our human mind would never think of, such as the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, how would we ever think that anything good could come from that? And yet the Lord chose that. That was His mind. And His apostles couldn't understand it. They didn't know why, but later they did understand. And when they received the Spirit of God, and they began to understand the way that God had worked there. In Acts 1 and 8, I just want to lay a little foundation with these few scriptures this morning. It says here, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." You know, we depend upon the work that the Holy Spirit does in our life. That's why we teach a holy life. We know it's impossible for a man to live that way. It's only by a power much greater than our power that that's ever possible to live in that way. But He says, "You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses." And that's what makes us able to witness of the power and goodness of God, is that the Holy Spirit enables us to be away and have the mind and the power of the Lord that we can never have. Man cannot have without that. That's the defining factor. That's the thing that makes many things that we believe and teach. That's what makes it possible. I think about the liberty that we have in our services. The liberty that we allow that someone can come up and preach when it's time in our meetings, our camp meetings, we give liberty. Well, sometimes we know that when we give liberty, there's always a place there for the enemy to work as well. But we do that because we believe that the power of the Spirit of God, that Spirit that gives us the mind of God, is able to talk to the ministers and able to give messages from heaven, from God's mind, that says, I want you to tell the people this thing. It only comes through the power of the Spirit of God. So I want to encourage us this morning to just think about some of these things that God wants to work in every one of our lives. And He paid a very dear price for us to have not only forgiveness of sins, but for us to have that thing within our life that gives us what nothing else could give us. And I want to look at Ephesians 4 and 8 at another scripture here and kind of get into maybe a little more of what we were thinking this morning. In Ephesians 4 and 8 it says, "Wherefore He saith, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive." You know what captivates people today is sin. Those things hold people captive. They're not able to get loose. Not able to get loose of that thing that addicts them. But He says He led captivity captive. And then He went on and gave gifts unto men. And I want to think a little bit this morning about the gifts that the Lord would like to give us and make us able to be an extension of the hand of the Lord to people's lives. He wants to give gifts unto men. That's you and me. He wants to give things to us through His Spirit that makes our life truly a blessing, truly a witness of the grace and the goodness of the Lord in our life. I want to look at 2 Timothy 1, where Paul began to write to Timothy here, 1 and 6. I'm sorry, I'm in 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Verse 6 says, "Wherefore," and Paul was writing to Timothy here, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. You know, I don't know what Timothy was fearing here or why Paul was writing this all together, but it's evident that Paul was in prison when he wrote this because he said, of me, his prisoner. So evidently Paul was in jail at that time and he was encouraging Timothy. Timothy, don't slack back because you're afraid that you might, I don't know if this was what it was, you're afraid you might get put in prison for what you're preaching. Don't slack back because of fear, Timothy. Stir up the gift that God put in you. You know, we read about how that God led captivity captive, and then He gave gifts unto men. He gave things from the Holy Spirit, things from the power of God, things from the mind of God that He gave unto men. And He wanted us to go out and use them. And I want us to think a little bit this morning about what that means personally to us, to Timothy. Paul wrote, stir up the gift of God in you, Timothy. Stir it up. Don't let it get dormant. Don't out of fear. I never realized, I guess, I don't remember ever realizing what this scripture really was talking about. But when Paul told him that God hath not given us the spirit of fear, it sounds like it was to do with his ministry. That he was, I don't know what he was dealing with, but he said, He hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now I want to encourage us this morning. You know what? God has something that He wants to gift every one of us here with. That He wants to make it a blessing to people. He wants to make it a blessing to people all around us. In our circle of influence, the Lord wants to make our gift a blessing. I want to look at 1 Timothy 4, where Paul speaks to Timothy before this, in the first writing, and he says here in verse 12, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. And, you know, Paul tells him here, don't neglect your gift, Timothy. I want to ask us this morning, have we allowed God that place in our life that we've sought Him, Lord? I want You to fill my life. I want You to fill my. I want You to fill this temple. I want to know that You filled my life with Your Spirit and then let Him use it. And that only comes by desire. It comes by asking. It comes by putting aside our desires and the things that we would do, the things that we would choose in life, by seeking the Lord with our whole heart. And the Lord, I believe, is just going to come into a temple like that that's prepared for Him and that wants Him to come in. So I want us to think about this morning, what is our gift? Have we asked the Lord, Lord, am I functioning under Your mind? Am I functioning with Your Spirit? And Lord, what is the gift that You want me to have? I know there's natural gifts and there's gifts of the Spirit and sometimes they work together. But this morning, Lord, what is the gift that You want to work in my life? A gift is a responsibility. A gift is not something that puts us up on a pole somewhere. It's a responsibility is what it is. A gift is something God gives us to be a blessing to someone else, and it puts responsibility upon our shoulders. I want to look at Romans 12 and read some scriptures there where it talks about some of the different things that the Lord does through His Spirit. Romans 12, starting at 3, for I say, and through the grace given unto you, or the favor of God given to you, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. You know, this is not something that we have exalted one another. It's what God gives, the measure of His workings in our life. And it's different for every person. Some people are never seen, and yet they're part of the very workings of the Spirit of the Lord in a congregation. They're part of the backbone, part of the things that happen. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace, that word grace is divine favor. It's according to God's favor that He has given to one another, given to you or to someone else or to me. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every... I'm sorry. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. You know, I know this word wait wasn't in the original. It's put in there because evidently there was a gap or something. But the gist of what he's meaning here is, let us take care of our ministry. And he mentions that differently. He says, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. He that teacheth on teaching. There's different ministries and there's different callings for every person. He says, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And I want to just look at some of those things there. You know, if we can realize that the grace of God is not something from us, it's something from God. And sometimes we don't feel like, well, I can't do that. I'm not worthy to do that. I don't have enough experience. I don't have enough whatever. Or, you know, I need to just grow a little more. But you know what? If God has given us a gift that He wants us to exercise with, let's don't let the spirit of fear and of drawing back keep us from offering what God has given to us. He's given to everyone a different gift, and He wants us to use it. It's a blessing when it's used. And I want to look at some of these things. He says here, of course we read prophecy and ministering. I don't know what all that includes, but it includes quite a bit. You know, those that have gifts of teaching, let's let God use that and not draw back from that. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. I don't know how many times I've heard during a service somebody with a gift to exhort, and I have watched the effect that it has had. I've watched the sinking in of the words. Maybe the preacher preached his heart out and didn't really sink it. It didn't sink in all the way. And somebody with a real something God had given them gave an exhortation, and it went right down to the hearts of the people and melted people's hearts. You know, without that gift, if we hold back in fear or for whatever reason, we hold back on that. Do you know that part of the success of what goes on has to do with that gift that we have? Every one of the gifts are very important this morning. And I want us to just think about it. Lord, if I don't know where you've really touched me, I want you to touch me. I want you to have control of my life, and I want you to use my life in a way that is a blessing. I'd like you to give me some responsibilities in your work, whatever that might be. It might be to someone. I was reading Brother Fred Pruitt's book. We've been reading that in family worship. And he said, after he was sanctified and filled with the Spirit of God, he said for several days it was just like heaven had come into him, he said, or he had gone to heaven, he felt like. But you know, the Lord right after that gave him a call, and he felt called to preach. And he said, surely, Lord, you've made a mistake. He was like, there's just no way. He had never even thought of such a thing in his life. He had never thought of himself preaching. And yet, the Lord called him. The Lord gifted him and gave him many years after that. I want us to think this morning about not telling the Lord no. Allowing God the place in our life and asking Him, Lord, I want you to give me some responsibility. Not that we want to be seen, but that we want to be the blessing that we should be to the work of God. It is a place that God has given to people. He didn't choose angels to do His work. And sometimes I've wondered, Lord, people make mistakes. People have made mistakes in their lives. I've made mistakes. And I look at that and think, why don't the Lord use angels? That way there's never a mistake been made or anything. But the Lord didn't choose that. He chose people. And we have to allow Him that place within our life. Lord, I want you to use me. And I'll overcome my inhibitions. Brother Fred said in his book, he said he just, for a while, he just argued with the Lord. He just couldn't, no way. But he was so full of the joy and the love of God that eventually it came down to the place where he said he knew if he was going to live saved, he was going to have to go on and do God's will. And he did that. And the Lord blessed him. And the Lord called him away. He had a real successful farm. I know I said that part a while back at another time, but the Lord blessed him, and he had a lot, and he sold all of that and followed the Lord and began to follow the Lord, and the Lord used his life. Many times he could have drawn back out of fear and said, yeah, but if I do that, look what lies on down the road. But instead, he just followed the Lord and let God lead him, and the Lord used his labors. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. You know, that's an admirable thing. And yet it's mentioned right in here with things that the Lord, by His Spirit, has gifted people with. It's a blessing to people. And many people draw back from that and give only the least that they can. And I only think we only get the little bit that we give many times. It's just the way it works. Let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. You know, the Lord sometimes has put people in charge of businesses, in charge of things. God put them there. And they have a certain amount of rule over other people. It's not that they want to be in command. It's just where God put them. And you know, He says here, do that with diligence. The things that God has put us in charge of, just be diligent, be kind and gentle. Be like God would have us to be. It's a place where we can win people to the Lord when they see God working. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. I've seen different people and their different ways of working. And some folks just have a lot of mercy. They just have a heart full of mercy. It's just, it bubbles out of them. It's more than the normal. You know what? Let it be something God uses. Let it be a gift that He uses in your life to bless others with. And don't hold back. Let it be a part of the work of the Lord. With cheerfulness, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. That dissimulation means without hypocrisy. Don't give of our love out of hypocrisy or to get something. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. It's just a wonderful thing when you see people that allow God to use them in the way that He wants to use them. We've all seen those that are hospitable. Everybody should be hospitable. But there's people that just have a gift of being hospitable. It's, you go in their presence and they just make you at ease. There's people like that. Other people don't have that gift. It's hard for people to be at ease sometimes in their presence. I want to look at another thing here. It goes on to say here, continuing instant in prayer. And I thought about the verse over in Luke 2 where it talks about Anna, Luke 2 and 36. It says, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Aser. She was of a great age, and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. You know, this Anna, it says that she served God with fastings and prayers night and day. It says she departed not from the temple. You know, not everybody can do that. Not everybody can do that. Some people, most men have jobs, and sometimes they have to work 50, 60, 70 hours a week. Women have babies to tend to and all those things. But this lady was elderly, and God had a special place for her. And you know what? When the Lord came by, and when he was just a babe, you know what God revealed to this woman? That this was the Christ. The Lord revealed to her, and the Christ had never said a word. He was a baby. I don't suppose he had ever spoken a word. But the Lord revealed to this lady, you know, she had a special work and a special gift. I look at some of the older saints, and I will tell you, it is a great strength to me to know that they are there praying. To me, it's like, I know, I believe in the value of that. Here was this lady, she was older, and so at that time, God had a special place. You just go to the temple. I want you to just be there. You fast and pray and seek God for your nation, for the needs around you. And you know, she did that, and God blessed her in a real special way. And so I just think about that this morning. Sometimes we don't think of those as gifts, but it is a gift. It's a place in life, and I hope those that are at that place and have that place use it and really use it as a ministry that the Lord has. Acts 6 and 5. I'm going to read a few other places. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. And Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. And then on down in verse 8 it says, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. You know, the Lord didn't call everybody to that, but he called Stephen to that. And you look and see what Stephen gave up his life. He could have feared. He could have stopped. He could have recanted. But he didn't do that. He put his gift on the altar. And you know what? We are blessed by that even today. It says, Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. I just think about how that the Lord works through his whole body. The Lord wants to be glorified. I don't think God wants to give all the gifts to one person. I don't want all the gifts myself, I'll tell you that. I don't want all the gifts. People would start lifting somebody up if they had all the gifts. But I would sure like for the Lord to move on all of us and give us all the gifts of the Spirit, that all those gifts together would just make a harmonious sound and make something that we see, that the world can see, that these people love God. There's something deep in their hearts that's real, something that God has given. It comes from the workings of the Spirit of the Lord in our life. I'm just going to quote this without turning to it in Psalms 138 and 5. The last part of that verse says, for great is the glory of the Lord. You know, what God wants is he wants to cause all of those gifts, and it only works if we all allow God to work in our lives like that. It only works to that extent. If one person, which I know there's more than one, but if one person allows God to work, that's the extent that God is able to work. If the whole congregation opens up their heart to God like that, says, Lord, I'm flinging myself out on you. All I want is your way. All I want is your will. I want your Spirit to indwell my temple. And I'd like you to just have your way in my life. You know what? If everybody does that, to that extent, God will work in our midst. The Lord's not interested in one or two having it all. He wants everyone to feel their place and to know their place. In Proverbs 18 and 16, I don't want to do this an injustice because I know this is not really what the Scripture is talking about. I'm going to say that now. But it says, a man's gift maketh room for him. I think about how that the gift that God gives is a responsibility. It's something that God wants to give us that makes us responsible to others in some way or another. And if we use that in the way that God wants it to be used, I believe that the Spirit of God will make a place for us. We don't have to make room for our gift. If we have to shove or push, we're doing the wrong thing. There's going to be strife and there's going to be problems. So if we can allow God, Lord, I want you to give me what you want me to have, and then I want you to open the room for it. And as we do that, God will open the room for it. And He'll give us a place. And then it works so beautifully when we all allow God that place in our life. Oh, have we allowed the Lord that kind of place in our life? Have we really opened up our life and said, Lord, I know you've saved me, but Lord, I really want you to just have your way in my life from here on. I want to do your will. I want to take your ways. I'd like you to speak through my life. I'd like to know the mind of God. I'd like to have that connection between the Holy God and my mind and heart. I'd like to have that connection that happens through the dwelling of the Spirit of God within our heart, within our life. And that's where so many places miss it today, is that we can build organizations and do great things, but the mind of God, the indwelling of His Spirit, the power of His work in the heart and in the life, it only comes by the Spirit of God. I want to read just a few more scriptures here, several more, but in two places maybe. In 1 Corinthians 12 and 4, it says this. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. You know, the Lord lets us know right up front, your gift's not going to be like everybody else's. And my gift's not going to be your gift, and your gift's not going to be someone else's gift, necessarily. But the Lord has a real diversity of operation. He has a real diversity of gifts that He wants to work. To Brother Fred Pruitt, He called him to preach, and he knew it. And he had no question. He knew God was talking to him about it. He just didn't see how it was possible. But to someone else, it might be a ministry of prayer and fasting. To someone else, and we all pray and fast, but there's a special place there for some. To others, it might be that gift of exhorting, or to another, of singing. There's many different places, and I would that God would speak to our hearts, that we would fill up the places, that the body could work, that when we pray, that there are those that are ready to pray. I know all of us should be willing to pray publicly, perhaps, but there are those that the Lord seems like He puts that special burden on sometimes. Let's work in that. Let's not let it go slack. Let's stir up the gift of God that is in us. Every gift is orchestrated to bring about God's purpose. There's not any gifts that the Lord has put in the body that are just for no reason. They're all a part of His great orchestra that He's put in place. And when He calls for one and it sounds so good, it does the work that it's meant to do. But it only works as we all respond. That's the only way it works. And it'll only work to the extent that we all have responded to those gifts that the Lord has given. So there's great responsibility on all of us. I want to read a little more here, starting in verse 5. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God, which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. That word withal is meaning to profit the whole, to profit the whole body, everybody. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Is it possible that some would just have more wisdom than others? I believe we can all say that's probably true. But you know, the Lord wants to give some people special wisdom. He wants to give them a special gift with that. Use it. Use it. Use it to help other people too. Let the Lord use you. We can stand back in fear. And I know there's a place for all of these things, but we can stand back in fear and say, but they would never listen to me. You know what? Maybe God would like you to share a little bit of your wisdom. Maybe the Lord would like you to share that with somebody. The Lord's given that to people. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Is it true that some would just have better understanding of Scripture? Better understanding of things than maybe someone else? It may be. And maybe the Lord will call them to teach. And it gives us knowledge. How many times have we learned so many things by what somebody else has taught? It's a gift. It's a blessing. It's a responsibility that God gives to faithful men and women. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. I have seen those with a special gift of faith. I know it's so. I've watched it. I've watched them pray and I've watched what happens. I know that there are those that have a special gift there. It's a blessing from God. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. How come some can discern things faster than others? Maybe God gave them a special gift to do that. Maybe they have a special gift there of discernment, of understanding, before anything's ever said. Anna, she discerned that was Christ in the temple. She never heard anything of it, I don't suppose. To another, the work of discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one, and he's relating this to the human body, as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that body, being many, are one, so also is Christ. Christ is that way in all of these gifts that he's talking about. Those gifts make one body. And it's one blessing to all. I just want to leave us with those thoughts this morning. That we would recognize the power of the working of the Spirit of God in our life. We don't have anything of ourselves. We don't have much to offer, and we know that. We're just people without God's power. But with God's power, we have the mind of God. With God's power, we have faith. We have those things that back up God's Word and the things that He wants us to do. Let's each one look inward this morning and let God, Lord, teach me, lead me, help me. Help me to be a blessing. Give me some responsibility. I believe we should pray that way. And the Lord, when He talked about the Holy Spirit, I believe it's in, well, maybe John 11. I'm not sure where it is. He was talking about, will He give him a fish? If someone asks for the Holy Spirit, will He give him a fish or a serpent or whatever it was? You know, the Lord wants us to have this. He wants us to seek for it. He'd like for us to just open up our heart. Lord, I want that. I want the mind of God in my life. I want the glory of God in my heart. I want the power of God in my life. I believe that the Lord has that for us. Y'all pray for us too.